Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A very well-known company fights for its survival. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is June 19, 2013, and we are on day three of Newsworthy Clips. You can find news clips on pages 30 through 32 in your Advanced magazine. We've had a couple of interesting articles the first 2 days. First day, we talked about the NBA and how the players are behaving themselves. No more trash talking. Yesterday was interesting to learn about this gene variant, a longer life gene variant that was discovered in some research, and actually it helps to explain why some people live longer than others, because a lot of senior citizens were more likely to have this gene variant in their DNA. Today we're going to be talking about some business, a very famous company that we don't know if it's going to survive or not. But before we move into today, let me just get one note from yesterday from each one of my panelists. Joanna Wirtz and Steve Marth are both back here for day three. Hi, panelists.
Hi. Hello. Bill. Hi, friends.
Great to have you back. And one of the keys yesterday was we talked about this longer life gene variant. Whether or not you have the longer life gene variant in you, there are still choices that you can make as far as being more physically or intellectually active throughout your life. And that actually can contribute a lot to maybe living longer. And so I want to ask each of you, is there a particular physical or intellectual activity that you do that, you know, you think at least, whether or not it helps you live longer, at least it helps you enjoy life. So, Steve?
Yeah, I whether I have the gene or not, I'm trying to be more intellectually stimulated, and so I like to do the Sudoku puzzle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, that's actually a great way of doing it. So, yeah, we had done an article in Advanced last year about some of the mental games that are available to keep people sharp and actually helps prevent or delay the onset of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
But it's been about 3 months since I completed one, but I'm still trying.
Keep trying. Keep working on it. All right. We'll check on you. Keep pumping you up. Joanna.
I also love Sudoku. It's been a while since I've played a game, but I went through a phase where I got so obsessed with it, I stopped doing hard ones and started finding games or apps on my phone where I could do them for speed. Hmm. And then I would time myself to see how fast I could do them.
That's fun. Yeah.
Okay.
I really love logic puzzles, Sudoku and like other logic puzzles.
Okay. You became obsessed with them. What do you mean obsessed with?
It was my favorite game. I was doing it every day, several times a day.
Yeah. When we're obsessed with something, we can't live without it. We've got to do it. We've got to have it. So, all right. Well, when you have a chance, you check on Steve and see if you can help him out to solve that. He hasn't solved one in 3 months.
I need some tips.
Yeah. All right. So I try to do a lot of reading. I try to keep up to date on business and financial news and international news. So that's what I at least I try to stay intellectually stimulated, at least by reading about things outside of the realm of what we normally talk about, especially like international news I try to learn about. So, all right, let's move into today, June 19th, and we're on page 32. We're talking about Kodak. What do you know about Kodak, Steve?
Wow, Kodak is an old company. Probably 100 years old or so.
1888.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. It's an old company. And for many years, it was just like the bedrock of American business.
Right.
It seemed like one of the pillars for American businesses.
Yeah. It really was. It was very famous, known for so long, part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So it was one of the few companies. At one point, there was like 30 companies on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the benchmark for stocks in on the New York Stock Exchange. Kodak was one of those companies. Yeah. I don't believe they're there anymore.
It was huge.
That's how solid they were.
It was a huge company.
Yeah. And so they were very famous for making cameras and film,
mm-hmm.
right?
And years ago, you sent the film back to Kodak, I believe, and they would develop it for you.
Yeah.
At one time.
That was mm-hmm. You would have to send it to their I think they had regional offices, but their headquarters is in Rochester, New York, in upstate New York. Joanna, are you familiar with Kodak?
Not too familiar. I'm not very familiar with their past, but I was familiar with them as a company and a filmmaker when I was growing up. When I was growing up, we didn't have to send it to them. We could just develop it at the grocery store.
Yeah.
But that was one of the main options we had when we wanted to buy film for our cameras.
Yeah. Well, for me, this is really a fascinating newsworthy clip, and I enjoyed studying about this because I remember Kodak was a giant in industry, as we talked about, and it's fascinating to study them, what happened with Kodak. There was a point in time, I believe it was in the 1980s, I think I saw, they peaked out. Their peak employee count was 145,000. Employees. And just to give you an understanding of what a fall from grace they have had, they have about 13,000 employees today.
Mm.
So they have one-tenth the number of employees that they had 30 years ago. And when I was in college, I was I was in charge of like a marketing group, and we had speakers come in and talk to us. And we had a gentleman who was in charge of the research and development. And he actually came and spoke, and I was just in awe of what these guys were doing. And now I look back on that and I think it's all gone.
It's gone.
Gone.
These guys, I don't think there was an equal in their in their field.
Yeah.
They held their position for so many years.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the competition in film that brought them down, was it?
No, it was a couple of things that brought them down. We'll talk about it as we go through this article. But they made some serious blunders, we would say, some managerial decision blunders, entrepreneurial blunders, we might say, failing to change rapidly.
Mm.
And they have one piece of technology. Steve, you mentioned they were at the cutting edge, the leaders and everything. They had the technology for the future, and they blew it. And we'll talk about that as we get into our article. So let's do this. Turn to page 32. Our first reading will be that left column.
Kodak blows itself up in hopes of surviving. All those photos you shot years ago on film and stuck in a scrapbook or shoebox theoretically will last for centuries. Survival of the company that invented film photography for the masses is far less certain. The likelihood Kodak will get through Chapter 11 bankruptcy rises almost daily. Kodak has secured an $830 million line of credit, money that is supposed to carry it through the rest of its bankruptcy and out the other side. That post-bankruptcy Kodak will barely resemble the company that filed for bankruptcy. Desktop inkjet printer manufacturing will stop next year, though the company will continue to make the inks. Kodak expects to save $100 million next year by ending all the retiree health benefits it long has provided. And the company estimates it has shed roughly 3,700 positions worldwide this year. But perhaps most momentously, Kodak will be out of the photography business. Kodak is looking to commercial printing, packaging printing, and print industry services, as well as the just emerging field of functional printing, to be its next life.
Kodak blows itself up in hopes of surviving. Help me out with that one, Joanna.
Well, blows itself up, I'm thinking of an explosion. Yeah, but pretty much destroys itself in hopes of surviving. Yesterday we were talking about a contradiction. That's kind of a contradiction. You blow yourself up in hopes of surviving.
Very good. It seems like a contradiction. This is a business term when we use it. It blows itself up. That means we're going to tear this whole thing down. And a lot of times you might see that with like a skyscraper that they've decided they got to get rid of this 30 or 40 story building. So what do? They detonate explosives in it. It collapses, and then they can build a new skyscraper in its place. So that's why they do that. They blow it up in the hopes of building a new one.
Because many times it's a lot easier to start from scratch, we would say, or start from zero, than to fix what already exists.
Yeah.
So rather than try to fix something, get it out of the way and start fresh.
Okay. All right. Now, we go back in time to all those photos you shot years ago.
Man, I still have shoeboxes of photos. I've got photo albums at home. Who doesn't have old photos? I mean, I've got lots of them. I don't know what to do with them.
I have photos. It's amazing. From years and years ago, they're still there, still around.
How about
you?
I have some, too. Not a ton. My parents weren't big on picture taking, and I didn't have my own camera, but I do have some.
Yeah. Of course, now what we do is we take pictures with our phone or our digital camera, and we just pretty much keep it on the device, or if anything, we keep it online. It might be on our Facebook account or maybe a Dropbox account or somewhere, a folder on our laptop computer. Very few people actually print out photos anymore.
You're right. And I remember as a kid, and I'm sure you do too, opening up the family album with my brother and my sister beside me and just going page by page and looking at the relatives and the old holiday pictures and how joyful that was. And to think that that's changed, it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
That was such a special time for us to go through pictures like that.
People have pictures from 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And theoretically, or we believe that is the theory, that they will last for centuries. They might last for centuries, but what about the survival of the company?
Well, the film company that those are printed with might not last that long. It's saying that their survival is far less certain.
Okay. And we find out why in the next paragraph.
Okay. They're on hard times, and so they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And that's when a company owes money that it cannot pay. To stay in business, it will reorganize itself in a new way and agrees to pay some of those debts over a period of time. And so that's what Kodak has done. It wants to reinvent itself and start fresh.
Okay. So the likelihood, it's rising daily, which means there's more of a chance as each day goes by. It looks like they might survive. We're not sure, but it's going to survive in a whole different form. Kodak has secured an $830 million line of credit. So what they do is they have an arrangement with their bank. They didn't take this loan out yet, but they can borrow it as they need it, as they go along, up to $830 million. So that's a lot of money available to them. Now, this money was supposed to do what?
Well, it's supposed to carry the Kodak through the rest of its bankruptcy and out the other side. So they got a loan, and it's supposed to help them survive during this time of reorganization until they can get back on their own feet again.
That's what we mean by the out the other side, right? Okay, imagine they're in a tunnel, and they want to come out the other side of the tunnel. They need to get through this dark tunnel and get through the mountain. So, but it's going to be very different.
It's very different because the company that filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy will be very different from the company that will come out the other side, so to speak. They're going to be very, very different. They're going to produce different products.
Okay. They will barely resemble the old Kodak. And we get into some of that there in line 14, what we're talking about.
Well, they're going to stop manufacturing desktop inkjet printers, which is the printer you're probably familiar with seeing in an office or school right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're going to stop manufacturing that piece of equipment that, you know, you use your computer to print documents. Although they will continue to make the inks for those printers because they still want to service them for the people that have bought those printers. They have the equipment. They still want to provide the ink cartridges for that equipment. And
and if you've bought ink for your printer recently, you'll know that's where the money is to be made.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the
yeah.
inks.
It's not in the equipment. It's in the inks. So yeah. it is something they can generate revenue from. Another area there, kind of getting, I wouldn't call it revenue, maybe savings from in
they're
the next
slashing,
sentence.
Yeah. They're slashing costs by cutting the retirement packages for their employees that they've so long provided.
Okay. They have been providing certain health benefits for their retirees. And one other way that they have cut costs?
Well, they're shedding roughly 3,700 positions worldwide this year. Mm-hmm. Positions meaning employees. They're laying people off.
Yeah. I actually, just let me move up, back up here in this paragraph to where they're going to save $100 million next year by cutting some of these retiree health benefit plans. It's a pretty simple sentence, but it's a really sad story because they have about 30 or 40,000 people who rely on these programs. And unfortunately, because of the global recession, many companies have gone through this. They made promises to their employees as far as certain pension promises. You know, we're going to provide a certain monthly income to you as long as you live. And then we're also going to – they made promises to provide health insurance payments to the employees and their survivors, like their wives or husbands. And this is kind of rough to go back on to somebody who's 80 years old and say, oh, well, we're going to cut all of this now. So that sentence is really simple, but it's really yeah. – it's a painful sentence.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So – and then, again, they're cutting even more jobs worldwide. So it's almost this the company that's left is a skeleton of what it used to be. So one-tenth – the number of employees they had 30 years ago. Now, we get into what is really the big change here in line 21.
Most momentously, Kodak will be out of the photography business.
That's amazing. That's like saying Apple will not make smartphones anymore.
McDonald's is getting out of the hamburger business.
Yeah, it's that big.
Starbucks
That's how huge
will
it is.
No longer sell coffee.
That's right.
They're going to sell CDs. It's amazing. It's almost
no
absurd.
No one would have thought this.
No way. 30 years ago, you never would have thought this.
No.
Yeah. And it's momentously.
Momentously meaning importantly because of the effects on future events, which is what we're saying.
Yeah.
This is the core of their product line, or it was, and now they're ditching it.
We also might say momentously is an adverb. We can use it as an adjective. This is a momentous moment or a momentous occasion, meaning extremely important, a key moment in time. So they're going to get out of photography business. What are they going to do?
Well, they're going to look into commercial printing, packaging printing, and print industry services, which is things they already provide.
Yeah.
So they're just going to go in a different direction. They're not starting, I don't think, completely from scratch, but they're going to focus on what they have that does work or is working for yeah. them right now.
Okay. I want to clarify for our listeners, this printing we're talking about here is more like along the lines of industrial printing and printing for other businesses. We're not talking about those printers in your office, which we had just talked about earlier, that they're going to get rid of. But this is commercial and industrial printing for other business. It's a business-to-business type of service. And also another type of printing they're getting into.
Yeah, it's called functional printing. And it's kind of complicated what it is. I might liken it to 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're printing things layer by layer for electronics, like
yeah.
maybe the microchip in your smart card.
Yeah.
Or in a credit card, those right. kinds of printing jobs.
Right. Okay. And there are also types of things they can print. They can print stuff that actually is applied to the inside of your car or the inside of other, you know, pieces of equipment. So it's more like a 3D type of printing.
That's right.
So that is going to be Kodak's next life, or we might say their future. But to understand why they have to move into this next life, it's important to go back and understand its past. And earlier, Steve and I were talking about some of the blunders, some of the mistakes that they made, and why Kodak, their fall from grace from being the leader in photography 30 years ago, having 145,000 employees, which, by the way, is more than Google and Apple today. Kodak had more employees than Apple and Google combined.
Wow.
That's how big Kodak was. It's hard to believe. What was their biggest blunder, Steve?
They had the technology for digital cameras.
They invented it in 1975.
Many years ago, and they didn't jump on it. And they lost their chance.
Can you believe it? Listeners, they invented the technology for the digital camera in 1975. They dragged their feet on it. The reason they didn't really move forward with it is because they were so strong in the film business and the regular cameras that people had. There was an internal power struggle, and the people in the film side of it did not want the emphasis put on the digital cameras. They were afraid that would take over their business. They said, this is a cash cow. Let's keep working with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It worked at that time, but it lacked vision into the future. And we know the rest of the story.
Big mistake. Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our second reading for today.
The choice has not been happenstance. Today, print is the only business they have that they could emerge from bankruptcy with and have a hope of succeeding, said Tone Kelly of New York. The high-speed inkjet Prosper system is a breakthrough technology, Kelly said. If they get that going, it'll be a real opportunity. Packaging printer Hammer Packaging has been a user of Kodak pre-press offerings such as plates before and through the bankruptcy. Everything's been on time, Chief Executive James Hammer said. They've got good products. The credibility is still there. But whether Kodak can make a big splash in packaging printing will depend on it being able to offer technology and products that set it apart from the competition, akin to its inkjet technology in commercial printing.
Okay, Bill Quinn here with Joanna Wirtz and Steve Marth. We're on our final section of Newsworthy Clips, page 32. We're talking about Kodak having to change their business drastically in order to survive. And so our second reading is that right column on page 32. And we're talking about them moving into their next life, into their future, some of the choices they had to make in the past and this choice they had to make now.
Yeah, and as Joanna said earlier before the reading, this choice to go into printing wasn't just by happenstance. In other words, it wasn't by chance that they decided to do this. There are good reasons why they did this. One of the best reasons is they have some familiarity with this kind of technology, and it was the only thing that could help them emerge from bankruptcy and have a hope of succeeding.
And he also says that their high-speed inkjet Prosper system is a breakthrough technology. And if Kodak can get that going, if they can develop it and sell it, then it'll be a real opportunity.
Okay, it will be an opportunity. I would say it's an opportunity for survival. They will most likely never have 145,000 employees again. But if they can maintain their current employee levels, maybe add a little bit in the future, survive, and you know, their current revenues are about $6 billion a year. That used to be up around $25 or $30 billion or more in the past. So, but if they can survive, then it is an opportunity for them. Now, we go on to read about one of their customers who will soon become a competitor, I think.
Oh, okay. On line 15, Hammer Packaging already uses Kodak as a customer for their services, and he's pleased with them. Mm. He says they're doing a good job, the product is good, and if they can stick with it, they can get through this bankruptcy.
Okay, Hammer Packaging uses some of Kodak's pre-press offerings, such as plates, before and through this bankruptcy. And I just want to mention, without going into detail, but plates, printing, these are printing plates, they're polymer material, sheets of polymer that are used in the printing process. So they're not plates that you eat dinner off of, but these are actually printing plates that are used in commercial printing. And this is Hammer Packaging. We hear from the CEO, James Hammer. And what does he say?
He says, everything's been on time. They've got good products. The credibility is still there. So it sounds like they're pleased to do business with Kodak, even though Kodak is struggling.
Credibility. Steve.
They're the real deal. they're going to make it.
Okay.
They're serious about succeeding. They're going to try their best to stay in business.
Okay. All right. He trusts them. And actually, the significance of this is even through this bankruptcy process, where they have had financial difficulty, that it has not interrupted their service to their customers. So that's what he's saying. Now, the last paragraph, but whether Kodak can make a big splash or make a big impact in packaging printing will depend on what, Steve?
Technology and products that set it apart from the competition. Because okay. Kodak is not going to be the only one with this technology. Of course, there's going to be competition, and they have to worry about that.
Okay. Set it apart from the competition, akin to its inkjet technology in commercial printing. Akin.
Similar to having the same qualities as.
Yeah. Okay. Steve and I had talked a little bit earlier about one of the blunders Kodak had made is not moving forward with their digital camera technology in 1975. That is the most significant mistake that they had made, but they had plenty of others along the way. And I was also reading that this is in film. In 1984, they had decided they had the first option on being the official film of the 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. Being an American company, the Olympics were being held in America, so the Los Angeles Olympic Committee gave Kodak the option. Of course, there were certain financial agreements that needed to be made throughout this, and I guess Kodak felt, well, we don't really need this, and they didn't want to do it. And so what that did is that opened up the door for Fujifilm. Fujifilm then stepped in and said, we'll take this. And actually what Kodak did is they opened a door for a new upstart low-price competitor in the film business, their core business. And Kodak actually was kind of flippant about Fujifilm. They thought, well, our American customers will never switch just because of price. They love our products and they're so good. And they actually took the competition lightly, opened this door for Fujifilm. So not only did they have the digital camera blunder, but then they gave away market share because they took their competition too lightly. And then the rest is history on that. So there's some real lessons, and I think as far as business students, it would be really good for you to study Kodak and try and avoid the problems that they faced.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. All right, listeners, thanks for being here for 3 days of Newsworthy Clips. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill,
Joanna,
and Steve
saying goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.